in the Twin Cities, and I tour actually HBCUs in 2019. I went on a college tour with this church called Progressive Baptist Church in St. Paul, and so I was able to look at HBCUs in North Carolina and Georgia. And on that tour, I actually came across John C. Smith University, and I really just loved the school and everything, and I applied, and I of course got accepted. And so my senior year of high school, you know, I was applying to colleges, all of them HBCUs, none of them in Minnesota. I just knew that I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in the cold anymore. I just wanted to be, you know, back in the South, because I also grew up in Greenville, Mississippi. So, you know, I was used to being in the South. But unfortunately, I ended up going to Tennessee State University for the first 2 years of college. And that was just because of kind of family influence. And then
everybody, welcome to the Career Education Center podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Rivers. I am thrilled and excited to have Sierra C. Carter, who I call 3C. She didn't expect that, ladies and gentlemen. 3C in the house. She is a senior at Johnson C. Smith University, majoring in social work. So she wants to help people. And we're going to see how much she wants to help people doing this podcast. How are you doing today, Sierra?
I'm really great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. I can't wait to meet and the audience get to know you better. Sarah, tell us about your journey from your high school to college. And I noticed earlier that you told me that you transferred. So tell us about your educational journey thus far.
Okay, so my educational journey has been really full circle, I would say. I went to high school in St. Paul, Minnesota in the Twin Cities. And I toured actually HBCUs in 2019. I went on a college tour with this church called Progressive Baptist Church in St. Paul. And so I was able to look at HBCUs in North Carolina and Georgia. And on that tour, I actually came across Johnson C. Smith University, and I really just loved the school and everything. And I applied, and I, of course, got accepted. And so my senior year of high school, you know, I was applying to colleges, all of them HBCUs, none of them in Minnesota. I just knew that I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in the cold anymore. I just wanted to be, you know, back in the South, because I also grew up in Greenville, Mississippi. So, you know, I was used to being in the South. But unfortunately, I ended up going to Tennessee State University for the first 2 years of college. And that was just because of kind of family influence. And then, you know, I have family in Tennessee, so it was easier to just be somewhere that, you know, I was comfortable with and I knew the area. But my sophomore year of college, I decided to transfer towards the end, actually. And so the summer of my, I guess you would say, going into the junior year of college, I was, you know, applying to schools again. It was just like being in high school, you know, when you first apply to college, you know. So that process, it was a little stressful, but I just, you know, I'm very big on my faith. So I just knew God was, he was going to direct me in the right direction. And so I ended up stumbling across the email that I got back way back when from Johnson. And it kind of just told me, like, you know, go with your heart and really just make this decision for you. And so I ended up applying to Smith, and like probably 2 weeks before I finished summer classes up at TSU, I got everything situated and I was on the road back to Charlotte, or to Charlotte. And so I ended up coming here, and I just knew it was for me. Like the moment I stepped on the campus, it was just like, I'm supposed to be here. And so since then, I've just been involved in so many things. I've been offered so many opportunities, and it's just been like, it's been wonderful. It's been really great. And so it just feels like that time has just flown by, because now I'm a senior and about to graduate. So I'm like, I really wish it was a little bit longer, but I just know I came at the right time.
Yeah, sometimes you do. And I'm also a transfer student to Sierra. So I went to, I transferred twice, to be honest. I went to the school three times, let's be honest. Well, three times, because I went to, in state, I'm from Statesville, North Carolina, right up the road.
Okay.
And so I went to Mitchell Community College in a year because I got a scholarship. Then I transferred to Central Piedmont Community College. Got my associate degree in Central Piedmont Community College. Then I went to UNC Pembroke.
Okay.
And so I know about being a transfer student and moving from place to place and trying to adjust and get everything ready, you know, and to the new environment. But I was happy, just as you was happy, that's just me, I was happy at UNC Pembroke. It wasn't my first choice, but it ended up being my best choice.
Yeah.
You know? And I think John C. Smith will end up being your best choice.
Yeah.
You know, I see you got on your Golden Boys t-shirt. You can set up a little bit. Sorry about your Golden Boys t-shirt a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Yes. John C. Smith, I'm on the Golden Boys. And so since we're in Charlotte, I live in Charlotte, as my audience and viewers know, I'm happy that you responded. I said, good. Another Charlatan on my show today. I am so elated. And I didn't know, like I said before, I didn't know that you went to Tennessee State before then, and you're from Mississippi, so you have really traveled the South already. You just ain't got out of college yet.
Yeah.
You know, so you was already in geared in your mind at the high school that you want to go HBCU. Mm-hmm. So that trip that you took when y'all went on those career trips, in a sense, the different colleges, did that help shape your mind definitely going to HBCU?
Definitely. And it's actually funny when I think about it, because although I was raised in, you know, the South, it didn't really dawn on me about HBCUs. Like, I didn't really know a lot about it, but I knew, like, you know, they were out there because actually my granny went to Mississippi Valley State. And so she never really talked about, like, oh, I went to an HBCU. Okay, I guess because, like, back then, it's not like a really big thing, I guess. Yeah. And so once I moved to Minnesota and I'm like, okay, I don't really see a lot of Black people. I went to high school that was predominantly Asian. And so like there, I started a Black student union because I'm like, I want my people to be together. I want us to feel safe and comfortable. And so just taking that experience from being in Mississippi, because, you know, like, it was almost just normal for us to have Black History Month programs and to always just celebrate, you know, because it was also normal for, you know, Greek organizations at our middle schools and stuff. So it's like, I grew up around it, but it didn't really dawn on me until I was out of that environment. And so once I, you know, started the process of applying to college and then I went to tour HBCUs, it was like, okay, yeah, I need to be at one of these institutions because it's very gonna, you know, it's gonna help me. And so, yeah.
You felt like that was a nurturing environment. I think that's great that you spread. And I try to have diversity within our programs, different people from different areas of the country, different countries, different races, different origins. Because I think diversity is very great. And I think it's great how you went ahead and introduced, you know, the African-American community up in St. Paul, Minnesota. You know, it's not a place where African-Americans go because it is so cold. And I heard, you know, I had a cousin that lived in St. Paul. I think they live in Michigan now. Still, it's so cold, right? Still, you're up in that cold weather.
Yeah.
And I prefer the South, too. So I've been in the South all my life because I don't like cold. And if I got older Sierra, I really don't like cold. I'm going to Florida next, y'all. If I ever get enough money, I'm going to Florida. So I see why people, you know, from the North that's older now, than I am, they go down south to Florida. So you maybe see me down there 15, 20 years. Where you living, Mr. Rivers? I'm down here in Florida, in Miami. Like everybody else playing shuffleboard. In my left special between 4 and 7. And make sure I stand in line for my pudding pops or pudding. Oh, man. So was there any particular reason why you majored in social work? Is that something that you had a role model or just something that's in you that you want to just help people?
I feel like it's just been in me, but at the same time, I've had influence by a social worker, and I've also had social workers in my life, and so that contributed to a lot as to why I decided to major in social work. I didn't know how broad and, you know, just the variety of, you know, options you have with social work. And so once I came to college, it was like, okay, my main focus first was on like foster care. Because I guess like for most people, they only think of social work as like, you know, quote unquote, taking people's kids, but it's like, that's not what social work is. And so being in college and really learning about the true value and everything of social work, it just really showed me like, okay, this is really for me because I want to be able to help my young community, the community that I'm a part of and the community that's going to grow up and to help us in the next coming years. And so my focus has always been my education. I really value my education. And so that starts first for me. And so I'm like, if I'm able to help that part of the community and bring those, you know, individuals into an environment that they would have many resources, they would be supported, they would be safe. And so that's where my focus is now with social work. So in the beginning, it was like, okay, I want to help the people that are in foster care. But I'm like, okay, maybe that could be a little bit too much for me, you know? Like, you just have to choose and pick your battles when it comes to social work. And so now, since I'm a senior, and I've just been given like a really wide range of what I can do, I'm really starting to focus now just on education and really just like higher education, because I think I'm more comfortable in that space. I think I'm more comfortable with being around people my age, more so to speak. You know, it's a little easier because, you know, I'm actually an RA, so I already oversee individuals that's not that many years younger than me, but at the same time, I'm able to just be that kind of like big sister in a way, you know, help them, talk to them, and just let them be comfortable and give them resources. And that's the biggest thing for me. Like, I'm very resourceful. Like, anyone can tell you, like, yeah, Sierra, if she knows something, she gonna give it to you, give it to the kids. Like, I want to see my people win. I want to see them be able to flourish, you know, because it's like, I know that I didn't get this far by myself. Like, someone helped me along the way. So I want to be able to do that for, you know, people who I come across.
Well, I think that's fantastic, because you're learning that leadership role, being an RA, and it gives you a chance, college gives you a chance to really explore and learn yourself, right? Yeah. Learn a lot about yourself when you're in college. And those perceptions that you had and that you have about social work and me about business, when I mentioned the business management, it's just so broad. You know, you have to narrow it down.
Right.
And so you learn to narrow down what you wanted to go into, and which is great. You know, you started one way, maybe foster care, and now maybe I want to work more with adults in education. Mm-hmm. Now, did you do an internship while you're at John C. Smith?
Yes, my first internship was my junior year, but it wasn't through the university. So in high school, I became a Wallen Educational Partner Scholar. And so that means I was given $4,000 a year if I maintain my GPA. And then so it helped all 4 years while I was in college. And so I came across an internship opportunity through the Constellation Fund in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so they focus on granting nonprofits in the Twin Cities who are focused on poverty. And so it was virtual, but I, you know, once I went back home over the break, I was able to go on, you know, inside and talk to people and at the company and everything. And so that was like my first internship in college. But now my senior year as a social worker, we have to have a year-long placement. And so I started my internship with this organization called the Bringing You Excellence Foundation. Is also a nonprofit organization. And so the focus is on children and women. And so they help women in Charlotte who have children between 0 and 5 years old. And it's a grant. It's almost like that still, that grant style organization. So they have a lot of programs for these individuals, and just they bring in like grantees. So the people who help these individuals, they want to make sure that they're able to, you know, have a voice in the decisions that they make for the community and the individuals that they're serving. So that was, it was a good experience. I'm no longer with them currently. I'm now working at my university. And so I'll be working with the first and second year experience in parent relations. And so that's, it's like a lot to it, but
that's understandable.
So I'll be starting that Monday, actually. So that one I think will be a little bit more geared towards what I'm interested in. So I'm really excited to see how that'll go.
And that's why I come out stress internships a lot here at Sierra and Career Education Learning Center, is that you never know what you want to go into until you actually get the experience in that field, you know, and it may be, like you said, part of that field. and you may want to go one way and then choose to go another way. Mm-hmm. So where I was a business major, I may want to go to marketing. Then I didn't like marketing as much as I thought I did. Now I go to finance, and then finance might not be because I'm at the desk all day. And then you find different areas, and you're saying to find that same area within social work. There are many different areas and avenues in social work, and you was able to navigate going through different experiences, internships, working at this and that, and kind of see. And I think that's also building up who you're going to be later on. Those experiences from high school all the way up till now, thus far, is going to build you and let you know different areas there. It's going to strengthen your leadership style once you become a leader, then as you graduate. So I think that is great. And, you know, what about, I saw something about the Ronald and their experience. Can you tell us a little bit about that on your profile?
Yeah, so I am a Ronald E. McNair Scholar. I became a scholar my junior year once I transferred here. And it's a TRIO program. So let's start there. So it's a TRIO program, a federally funded program. And it is geared towards helping undergraduate students pursue graduate education. And so the focus of it is to do research and to, you know, go to conferences, attend conferences and present the research that you've been working on. And then it's just, you know, the end goal is for graduate school. And so it was started by Dr. Ronald E. McNair, and he was an astronaut who went, he went on a spaceship called the Challenger, I believe.
And it was a Challenger. I was in college that time when that happened. Yeah, I seen that. I'm in there. In fact, you know, when you went to A&T for that conference, they got the Ronald McNair Engineering Building there in North Carolina A&T. And so, you know, I remember that time. And, you know, that's fantastic that they had that program there.
Yes. And
what did that experience teach you?
It has taught me a lot. And when I tell you, like, it has opened my eyes up to just, like, what the world can offer for first-generation students, because I am first-generation. I take a lot of pride in being first-generation. And so just, like, being a part of this program, it's just, like, wow. Like, I never would have imagined I could do these things and, like, you know, just experience this. And then just being able to attend conferences really give you that opportunity to network, like, really, really network. And just even with peers and professionals, like, you know, you just never know what you might, you know, come across. And so I've been able to do my research on the impact of TRIO programs engagement on student success at a historically Black college and university. And so the focus right now is Johnson C. Smith and the TRIO programs that we have on this campus, and to just kind of do an evaluation of how it is really going to help students thrive. And so that's what I'm currently doing my research on, but I want to expand it once I go to graduate school and kind of bring in a trauma-informed approach focus to it, because that's also important to me as well. Like, you know, being a first-generation low-income student and attending an HBCU, like, that's a lot. So I just really hope to, you know, I'm curious to see what I will come across and what I will, you know, find through research. And then it's helped me, you know, become a better researcher, because I've never done research before. I've never, you know, just done anything like this. Wow. So I just feel like it really has helped me become proficient in that area. And so I'm like, wow, I never thought I would be interested in just continue doing something like this, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely given me just like everything that I never would have imagined.
Yeah, and that's a great thing about, and I pushed that on a couple other podcasts that I had earlier, and that these conferences that you get to go to, internships, co-ops, even part-time jobs, you get a lot of experience and meeting a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And that they will open your eyes, and there's certain areas and in your life that you thought you knew and you don't know. And then you learn more about yourself. Like I said, research. You didn't think about no research. You know, that wasn't even your vocabulary research. All of a sudden, you're doing research. What? I'm doing research. And I've had many past students that's been on this program to say the same thing. Like, I went to this internship, and I never heard of that before. And they say, you know, I started liking it. You know, and I started wondering, hey, that may be the direction I go. And that's the advantages that I want to tell students, that either high school or college, that, hey, venture out there. Like you said, go to conferences, go to internships, do all these things you get to go to, go on trips. Mm-hmm. Are you involved in any clubs or organizations at John C. Smith at this time? I know you're a busy lady, but are you involved in any activities or something?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm currently the vice president for the UNC Free Alumni Council. I am the UNCF campus ambassador. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, I'm an RA. I was a fellow for this this club called Charlotte Racial Justice Consortium here mm-hmm. on campus. I am, it's like so many, I can't really remember. But
hey, whatever you can remember is fine. It's way more than I did. See, mine would have been short. Mine would have been, well, this is what I did, Sierra. I went to class, I ate. I came to another class and I ate, and I played intramural football and basketball, and that was my life. Oh, and I was on reserve on the weekends, every one weekend out of a month. That was it. That's all I did. Yep. That was so simple, it's unreal. Why come you weren't born? Well, I guess, why come you weren't born? I was born. That way you could influence me to do all these organizations there. I just did the minimal amount, I guess, and I thought that was a lot then. But now, talking to you and other students, I'm like, man, I guess I really had a boring time. I did not utilize the services there. Mm-hmm. And the last person I had on podcast before you, you know, we were talking about utilizing services, you know, mm-hmm. and see with North Carolina Central, and do student utilize the services that are there. You pay for those services.
Yeah.
Student fees, you know. So you have your career services, you have tutoring, you have all these services. Are students using the services? Do you find your fellow peer students, are they using a lot of the services that's on campus provided by John C. Smith?
Sadly, no. And you would think, like, with this being a very small university, you know, it's a private institution at that as well, it's so easy to just come across this building and just be like, and even if you're just curious, like, okay, I've never been in here before. Like, uh-huh. I want to see what's in here. Like, you know, I just feel like that's what students kind of need to do. I think, with this generation, a little bit, I've noticed, because again, I'm an RA, so I'm in a building with freshman females. And so it's like, I noticed you have a small number who will actually go out there, do things, and, you know, like have that go-getter kind of personality. But then you also have the majority who are just like, okay, I'm here, but I don't want to go to class. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be social. And so it's like, okay, one, this institution is not cheap. So it's like, you know, you're paying all of this money to sit in your room, or you're paying all of this money to just go to a party at, you know, on the weekend. But it's like, you're not taking advantage of absolutely anything that this institution offers. And so it's like, you can have something at the tip of your fingers and you wouldn't even know it, because you don't know how to just, I guess, have that proactive mentality and just go get it and go do it and just like, just want to. And so I try to encourage a lot of students to just be like, you know, go talk to your professors, or just go talk to a staff member, just like ask them how their day's going, because that is also another reason how I've just been able to come across so many opportunities, just by talking to people and just, you know, seeing how they are as a person, what they do, like, you know, what their background is, because that can help you get into a room that you never would have thought you can get into. Like, you know, it's just that networking thing again, you know, just being able to talk to people. And even some of the peers that I've came across when I first came here, just having a conversation is, you know, hey, how you doing? And now I've become involved in this organization. I'm part of this. So it's just like, you know, being able to just get out there and do something. I feel like that's what students should really try to do, because it's a lot that you can do on this campus. Like, it's a lot.
And yeah, and like I said before, I spoke to many students and professors at colleges and stuff myself. And a lot of people don't use the services they have. Even back in my day, I had to admit, Sierra, don't let my people fool you, or my generation. They didn't use it either. They did not use it either. So I'm not even going to front and say, well, back in my day, Sierra, we used those services. We didn't waste our parents' money and we didn't utilize the services that we had there. I went and did. No, they lied. They didn't. They didn't. I didn't. I don't know why I didn't. You know, I'm talking to students now. Like, the first thing, when students email me a lot of times, or text me or message me, I ask them, did you use the service already? Before you even talk to me, did you go to your career services? Did you talk to your academic advisor? You talk to anybody on campus, the department chair, somebody on campus that can assist you with an internship, that can assist you with other areas you need. Do you need help with financial aid? Are you looking for a paid internship? Do you utilize the financial aid department? You know, not only just to get your financial aid, but there are other things that they can do there too. And so one of the reasons I had this podcast is to get students not only to know about the opportunities out there in different career, in different career fields, but also utilize the services on campus, like you said, that you're paying for. Those student fees are paying for those services. And as I talked to Alisa Hartfield, who goes to who's one of the program directors at North Carolina Central, she was saying the same thing, like, we're trying to get the students to do this. And I was asking her, what was the difference between high school and college? That she sees is that in high school, they kind of like, you know, they come to you. Mm-hmm. In college, you have to go to them, you know. And I stress that to my sons, like, you got to be an adult now. Mm-hmm. You know, that adult's coming to you and baby you. You have to go out there and seek that help that you want. And so hopefully this podcast and some of the other podcasts out there and information that you have and I have, the students will utilize the services that are out there. And so when they message me, I'm going to say, hey, go utilize the services you have at your college already. You know, they do this for a living. They do it every day. They know different people that I don't know. They know different organizations that I don't know that can help you. Know foundations. There are so many scholarships and grants and foundation endowments that's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Just ask. You know, just ask. I remember, I'm going to do this story right quick, is that when my son was going to school and I just got laid off at Wells Fargo and he went to school and I was just talking to a financial aid person and I said, well, you know, we don't have so much money because I just got laid off. I said, oh, you got laid off? You know, there is an endowment that we have here that for students whose parents have been laid off recently because of the downturn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I applied for it and he got it up to $3,000. You know, that's a lot. That's a help. I mean, you know, it's not a lot of money, but it is because you put all that money, $3,000, $2,000, $5,000 up to there, that cuts your cost from getting those student loans. But believe me, they will come out to you with those student loans. They will come out to you, Sierra, with those student loans. And so, you know, we just tried here at the Career Education Learning Center to have students, make them aware of the services and stuff that are out there, make them aware that different careers, to let you know that you're going to change careers throughout your lifetime. I'm 50 plus, as I said many times on this podcast. I changed professions 2 or 3 times. I went to retail management in the making of finance, and now I'm becoming an entrepreneur and many jobs in between there. And so don't be afraid to change. You know, go for your passion. That's something that you love. Apparently you do because you're very passionate about it. Man, you got me fired up here. I'm usually laid. No, I'm not laid back, but you got me fired up here. What I'm talking about, I'm not laid back. They know that I'm not laid back, but you do have me fired up regardless. So I'm excited you on the show. Are there any things before we leave that you got any advice or comments for students that's in your university about going to the next level?
As I mentioned before, you know, just talking to people and, you know, creating a relationship with professors, because that's really where it starts first too. Like, you know, just going to class, showing up, just putting yourself out there. And I think I feel like if the administration and, you know, faculty and staff, if they kind of put their foot out first for students as well, because yes, we're in college and we're young adults and we, you know, are coming on this journey to learn ourselves and just as our institution, I guess you say motto is become yourself, change the world. Well, in order for these students to become themselves, they need to know how to do that. And so if they've never been to college before, again, first generation, how will they know where to go and what to do to utilize the resources that are on campus? And so it's like when you have admissions and you have enrollment and all these people who are supposed to help students like this and navigate that for them, you know, it should be a little bit of a segue. It should, you know, it should be someone there to really like help them. And I think the main thing is visibility here on this campus, because again, it's a small campus, but it's like we should be able to see it and not kind of like, oh, let's go play hide and go seek and try to figure it out. Like, yeah, it is, you know, you have to go get it. But if you don't know where it is, then how would you know what to do and how to find it? And so it's just also for students to also find that drive and like really find, okay, why am I here? You know, like, what do I want to get out of the next 4 years? You know, I paid all this money to even come here. So how am I going to, you know, make it work, like make it count? And so It's a process. It's a process, but you know, I have faith, and I definitely think that with our new president, she definitely will bring that, and she can encourage students and encourage you just, you know, even alumni, like, you know, help them to help the next generation. And so I even thought about, you know, after I get my master's, like, I definitely will see myself coming back to Smith and, like, working here, because I just see so much potential and growth for the university. And so I really want to kind of be a part of that. But before I leave, I definitely am going to do my part as well. Like, I'm going to try to contribute to, you know, that change before I leave. And so I just talk to students, you know, and that starts with me being an RA. When I have conversations with them, I'm like, okay, what did you do this week that you didn't do last week? You know, like, what's something you can get involved in, or what's something that you see yourself doing in the next couple of months, you know? So, like, I just really try to kind of put a bug in their ear to try to, you know, do something different and just not only think of college as, oh, well, it's not like NCAT, you know, they love it. Yeah. NCAT. It's like, you know, every institution is different. So you have to see why you came to this university, why you came to this institution, and like what you can get out of it, because it's your experience. It's your experience at the end of the day.
That is amazing. I tell you, you have been a wonderful guest, and you're going to definitely have to come back. You know, I think graduate or doing your master's sometime. So not only you go back to John C. Smith, but you need to come back on our podcast. Okay? Yes. Definitely got to come back on our podcast. It has been a pleasure and joy having you on our show today, Miss Reese C. Sierra C. Thank you so much for coming on our show today.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank our viewers and listeners for joining me, Mitchell Rivers, on the Career Education Learning Center podcast, where we make your career dreams a reality. God bless.